This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Looking to start a side hustle or become your own boss? Do it with Shopify. Whether you're selling succulents or stilettos, Shopify has the industry-leading tools to help you create, control, and grow your own business. So get serious about selling and get Shopify today. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.co.uk/special offer.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Thursday, February 1st. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. Coming up on today's show, Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg was one of the big-name tech executives who went before Congress yesterday. They were there to answer questions on their platform's child protection policies. WSJ tech policy reporter Ryan Tracy tells us what the hearings mean for the companies and for lawmakers. And then, Apple's Vision Pro headset hits stores tomorrow. But what does living in mixed reality actually look like? WSJ senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern took the headset for an intensive test run. She'll tell us what kind of future spatial computing could bring. But first, yesterday, the CEOs of several big social media companies, including Meta and TikTok, appeared before the Senate Judiciary Committee. They faced pointed questions and criticism from lawmakers about child protections on the platforms and whether companies should be required to do more. WSJ tech policy reporter Ryan Tracy tells us about the hearing and what its impact might be. Ryan, bring us up to speed on some of the issues surrounding child protections on Meta's platforms.
Meta's really been at the center of this debate for a long time. You know, a lot of teenagers use its products, whether it's Instagram or Facebook or WhatsApp. And my colleagues at the Wall Street Journal have reported on some of the failings of the company to protect children on its platforms, including, for example, how Instagram's algorithms have connected networks of pedophiles. This is Mark Zuckerberg's eighth time appearing before Congress at this point. These concerns have been bubbling for a very long time.
What did Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg say in his testimony?
He touted the company's investment in safety and security. He listed all the things they're doing to try to protect users, things like parental controls or automatically detecting content that could be child sex abuse material, for example, and reporting it. He says these steps are industry leading and really go beyond the legal requirements that Meta faces.
How does this child protection issue look different for TikTok?
Lawmakers are definitely concerned about TikTok's influence on young people, but the concerns about TikTok are much broader than that, relating to the concerns about a Chinese-owned platform having so many American users. And a lot of the concerns about TikTok have related to what sort of content it's promoting, and for example, around the Israel-Hamas conflict and whether it's favoring one side or the other in that. So we saw a lot of questions on that topic.
What did TikTok CEO Shou Chu say in his testimony?
Well, he pointed out that TikTok's average user base is 30 years old. And so the implication there being, you know, this isn't primarily a platform used by teenagers. He also said the platform takes steps to minimize the exploitation of children, like prohibiting direct messages for users under 16, for example. And he really pushed back on these concerns that China is somehow controlling the content that users see on TikTok. And, you know, he describes the company as independent.
What happens now?
Now we'll see whether this time really is different. We have seen this movie before, tech CEOs coming to testify before the Senate and both Democrats and Republicans attacking these witnesses and criticizing them harshly. And yet, after other versions of hearings like this, legislation has not passed. And so the question now is whether senators can actually pass some of these reforms that they've been talking about, like, for example, making it easier to sue social media platforms for things that they host on their sites and show to users.
When might we see some legislation on this?
Congress is really dysfunctional at the moment, even more so than it has been in the past. And so there's no clear timeline at all. There were senators today that were saying that they want to make this a top priority, that they want to use every procedural move that they can to get the full Senate to vote on this and move it forward. And that's been the stumbling block before. So we'll see if they can overcome it this time.
That was our tech policy reporter, Ryan Tracy. For more of your daily tech headlines, check out TNB Tech Minute. That's right here in the Tech News Briefing feed. Coming up, Apple's new mixed reality headset is in U.S. stores tomorrow. But who's it for? That's after the break.
What do I do? What do I do?
What do I say?
What do I say? In the Macmillan online community, we know what it's like to have cancer, because we have it too. So whatever you're thinking, whatever you're feeling, whatever you need to ask about cancer, whatever the time of day or night, we'll do whatever it takes to help you. To join us, search Macmillan online community.
Last year, Apple announced that it will be releasing its Vision Pro, which it calls a spatial computer. Tomorrow, those headsets will finally be available in stores. WSJ senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern got a sneak preview. She recently spent 24 hours wearing the headset, and it told her a lot about the future of spatial computing. She joins us now to discuss. Joanna, you spent 24 hours wearing Apple's new Vision Pro headset. What were some of the kind of cooler aspects of its functionality?
So when you put on a VR headset, typically you don't see the world around you, right? You might be put into a sort of 3D virtual space that surrounds you. Here, when you put on the headset, you see the world around you. You're looking at a screen. The world looks pixelated. But if I were to put the headset on right now, I'm sitting at my desk, I would literally see every single thing that's sitting at my desk. It's a camera pass-through of the environment of what you're looking at. Second thing, when you put on a VR headset, you typically go and reach for controllers. Here, your hands are the controllers and your eyes are how you move around in the interface. So there's eye tracking happening. And as I look at things in the interface, so when I put on the headset, I see a grid of icons and I just look at those icons to navigate to them. And then I can use my hands. I pinch. It can be high up in the air. It can be low. Just that pinching selects what you want to look at.
When you first got your hands on the Vision Pro, your question was, how does this fit into our lives? And I'm curious what conclusion you came to.
So for so many months, we've seen images of what this looks like. It's got a hanging battery pack. The screen on the front of it is an actual screen. It's supposed to display your eyes. It doesn't always work that well. So this is a crazy looking thing. But what I wanted to do in the review is tell people what it's like to wear this thing, to be on the other side, right? Because when you're wearing it, you don't see all of that. You see this crazy experience of digital stuff everywhere. And I wanted to figure out, what would you use this for in your life? Apple's saying a few things. They have been saying working, watching, entertainment. But I wanted to push the limits here a little bit of what that could be. And certainly working was one of the things that I found to be the most compelling. You can put these apps up all in your space and really work in an immersive way. And you can actually pair your MacBook with it. So if you're traveling and you don't have an extra desktop with your laptop, you can extend this big desktop into the room. Another thing that I was totally surprised by, and I would not say anyone should do, but I decided to test it, was cooking. And it really illustrated to me the potential to move beyond the phone. So I cook frequently looking at a recipe on my phone. I was able to put the recipe on the right side of the kitchen so I could keep looking up at the recipe. And I would still see my real world. I'm still seeing the pots and the pans. I'm cutting vegetables. Look, this is not the best experience because you're viewing the world through a display. But then when I had the pasta going, I could set a timer through this app. And so I set the timer and I was able to drag this timer over the pasta and then over the mushrooms I was cooking. And every time I would look over at the real pots and pans on the stove, I would see these timers hovering over it. And I felt like this was this magical moment of understanding the potential of blending the digital with our real world. I do want to be very clear. A lot of the things in this headset that I did, you should not do. Definitely don't wear it for 24 hours. Apple says just use it when it makes you feel comfortable. And then also using it in safe environments. They're very clear about that when you first put on the headset. So, you know, I would stay away from hot surfaces and knives with this headset on.
This is Apple's first new product in almost a decade. Does it feel like a first generation product?
There are so many characteristics of this being a first generation product. It's big, it's heavy, the battery life sucks. There aren't that many great apps yet. It can be buggy. And then there's this feature called the Persona where it scans your face and that creates this digital rendering of yourself for FaceTiming. And it's truly horrifying what I look like there.
What kinds of concerns might there be in using this product? You did a couple of things that Apple does not recommend, like cooking and skiing. But beyond safety, are there other concerns that people might have in using it?
Certainly there's big questions about the future of when we might wear these outside. When we start to get to a point where we're wearing cameras, this device has 12 cameras, 5 different sensors in addition to that. This is packed with technology. And so it's very different, say, from an iPhone that, sure, you've got the camera, but, you know, it's pretty clear where you could be recording and the data you could be picking up from it. That's one concern. The other concern, really, and this is more of a philosophical concern, is, do we all want to be in our own worlds? You could argue we're already all in our own worlds on these small devices in our hands. Now we're going to put that on our face? This is a real question about where we're going as a society.
Fair enough. Who is the Vision Pro for, then?
When you ask who this is for, you have to talk about the price. This is a $3,500 headset. That, for most people, is more than a mortgage payment for a month. So the price has to be a part of that discussion. And that's why I say that right now, this is for two people. One, Apple diehards, people who just love to have the latest and greatest Apple products. And believe me, I hear from them all the time, and there are a lot of them. Two, it's people who are designing apps for this. If this is going to be the next big, great computing platform, and you make an app, and you make an app for the iPhone or iPad, then you're going to want to start developing that app for this next platform. You don't want to miss out. A lot of my review is not about the here and now. It is about seeing the potential and seeing the future here, which I really think is the best use of this device right now.
That was our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang with supervising producer Catherine Millsop. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.